Wine. Let's give him a big hand. Come on over. Hey!
There you go, there you go. Do this too. That's how the Pope does it.
Yeah. Okay.
Drives him crazy. Just, I was telling him last service that, you know, I've been past the 10 years, we just had our 10-year anniversary, and I've never gotten a standing ovation after I talk, much less before. He's getting one before. So I don't need one, I'm just joking, but really, I don't. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Tell us how you got started in this powerful ministry that you have.
Well, Hoops of Hope basically started when I was 9 years old. As you had said, I saw a video talking about a girl who had actually lost her parents due to AIDS. And at the time, I was nine. I didn't know what AIDS was. I just knew that I couldn't imagine living life without my parents. And I knew that I had to do something to help.
So tell us about what Hoops of Hope is and what you actually do.
Hoops of Hope is basically, it's the world's largest free throw marathon. So what we do is a bunch of kids will decide that they want.
By the way, it's the world's largest. You started it.
Yes.
Okay, so you have started the world's largest, marathon. Got it.
So a bunch of kids will come together and they'll decide that, you know, they want to make a difference. And they'll go out and they'll get people to sponsor them. And they come together on one day and they shoot free throws.
Okay, so this has happened all around the world?
All around the world. 40,000 kids have participated in over 20 different countries.
Okay, so amen, amen. So 40,000 kids in 40 different countries on their own decide, I'm going to do this and raise money for your foundation to help your projects in Africa.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
So all of y'all who say, well, I have this idea, but I don't have any money. I don't have any people. No one's helping me. Look at this brother. How many staff you have?
We actually, 100% what we raise goes to project, and we have two people that help us.
It's your mom and your little sister, probably, right? And those people are funded separately, so all the money that they raise goes to the projects. And right now you're working on a project in Zambia. Tell us about that one.
Well, so as you said, we had built a school, and we have just completed four dormitories, actually, at that high school. And a lot of those kids, the reason why we had to build dormitories is that they were having to walk so far that they end up having to sleep in the classrooms. So we built four dormitories for them, and right now we're working on staff housing. So for all those teachers who were sleeping in the classroom as well, now they're going to have a place to sleep. And then we're working on a cafeteria and a computer lab at this high school.
And that's all going to be about $300,000.
Yes.
Very good. Tell us about how you got saved.
Well, I got saved when I was about 5 years old. We were driving in the car, my mom and I, and, you know, I had always heard about God and stuff, and I just asked her one day, we were talking about heaven, and I told her that I wanted to be there with her, and I asked her to pull over the car.
And you got saved. Wow, wow. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I know people aren't going to like me after this, but I would actually like to go into politics when I grow up.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. He already got the hand motion down with the talking, you know, you need to vote for me and hook me up. What do you want to be as a politician?
You know, honestly, I don't really know what God...
Go ahead, throw it, man.
I don't really know what exactly God has for me right now, but I know that one of the things I would really love to be would be an ambassador to some African country.
There you go. Amen, amen, amen. So you did tell us one powerful story. I think you told me about George. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah. One powerful story that happened to me when I was actually in Zambia is that we had gone to a church service over there, which is probably one of the coolest things ever. And after that service, I went over to a truck we were riding in and pulled out an old soccer ball. And I started playing soccer with this boy, George. And when it was time for us to go, I gave him this old, beat-up pink soccer ball that we were playing with. And to be honest with you, I didn't really think that giving this little boy a soccer ball would matter that much. But the next day when we were actually at the school dedication, I saw this boy's mom. And she had walked about 12 miles to give me a soccer ball that, I mean, I'm so sorry, to give me a letter that he had stayed up writing for me. It had a picture of a boy giving another boy a soccer ball. And it said, "Austin and George are friends. I love you very much."
Wow.
And actually today, what I brought for you is, this is actually the soccer ball those boys play with. It's made from banana fibers, and then they wove it together. And so I wanted to give this to you because it's pretty special.
This kid is killing me. He's killing me.
That's what those kids play with.
We're in the back, right? He's got this in the back. And I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "Oh, it's nothing." I said, and I asked him like five times what it was. And he's giving me these like vague answers. Like, "Well, you know, it's no big deal." And then he's going to give it to me. So I appreciate it, brother. Well, listen, I'm going to give you some. This is his book. His book. So I'm going to give him his book back to him. I'd be a real good salesman if I could sell this book back to him. But he has his table outside. He's got the books out there. He's got information about his ministry, Hoops of Hope. You can go online, Hoops of Hope. We definitely want to have you back. We definitely want to do something out here with you. And let's find some big project in Africa we could partner on and build something. Amen?
Absolutely.
That's a no-brainer.
Thank you
Amen.
Guys so much.
Amen. God bless you, man. How many of y'all knew anything at 15? Like, you're still remembering your name, learning your name. Anyway, let's see your Bibles this morning. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good was that? 2. Let's try it one more time. Say word.
Word.
Very good. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
You can put it all away. We're going to have a quiz. Quiz. How many of y'all, by a show of hands, have never been in one of our quizzes? Never. Okay, here's how it works. You got to get in a quiz position. Someone tell everybody near you what the quiz position is. Tell the person next to you. Don't tell me. I already know. Booty back. Sit up straight. Put your booty back. What's up, Mom? Booty back. Okay, here's how the quiz works. I ask you a question. You answer the question. If you don't know the answer, which is fine, I'm going to tell it to you. Just pay attention. I'm going to ask you the question, and it's rote memory. You're going to shout. You learn by saying it. You're going to learn quicker by saying than only listening. And so you're going to shout. I may have you do hand signs, possibly. I'll let you know, when I want a hand sign, but you're going to shout. Now, if you don't consciously know the information, you have to, by faith, trust that your brain knows the information. And so what that means is that if you don't know it, just open your mouth and exhale and something will come out. And if it's wrong, no one's going to know, because there's going to be a bunch of people shouting stuff right and wrong. If I make a mistake, laugh so we can have some fun. I don't care. And we're going to get through the information. But the key is participation. Turn to the person next to you and say, participation. Okay? If you're one of these people that's going, "I'm not doing anything." Corny, come on now, this is church, we gotta have some fun. And you wanna participate. We're ending a series called Do Something, so now today is your Do Something opportunity to say something. Amen? Okay, let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you that you love us, and we pray that you would move in our life. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us to do something, not only in this quiz, but in our life. And we see kids like Austin changing the world. I pray that you would use us to change our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our jobs. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. John 14:12, Jesus said that if you believed in me, the things I did, you would do in even greater works. Well, how can I do greater works than Jesus? I was in Dallas, Texas, Tuesday, and I was on this show with a guy, James Robinson, and his wife. He's 66 years old, and he has a Christian talk show. He was raising money to feed 500,000 kids for 6 months. Jesus said 5,000 people one day. Not that he couldn't feed more, but he did. He fed 5,000 one day. He said, "You're going to do more than that. This guy's going to do 500,000 for 6 months. Every day for 6 months he wants to feed them." God says, if you trust me, the things I did were only a model. Not because you have more power you're going to do more than me. You have more numbers at least. You have better technology. But what Jesus did, he didn't do all that he could do. What he did was showing us what we could do possibly. So he's saying, if you believed in me, The things I did, Jesus said, you would do. And so he had a plan. Everyone say plan. His plan consisted of five P's, five words that start with P. Say preparation.
Preparation.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
Say pain.
Pain.
Say power.
Power.
Say passion.
Passion.
One more time, say preparation.
Preparation.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
Say pain.
Pain.
Say power.
Power.
Say passion.
Passion.
I'm going to do it one more time. Your brain already got it, but I'm going to give you one more time. Then you're going to do it on your own. Say preparation.
Preparation.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
Say pain.
Pain.
Say power.
Power.
Say passion.
Passion.
The words are behind me, so don't be cheating, okay? Say the five words. First one is? Turn to the person next to you and say, how can you not say it? Here we go. One more time. Say it again.
Preparation.
Say preparation.
Preparation.
Say preparation.
Preparation.
That's God's five-step plan for you to do something. Preparation. God has prepared all of us in here to do everything he's called you to do. God would never ask you to do something he hasn't prepared you to do. It wouldn't be fair. He wouldn't be fair. He's more than fair. He's righteous. And so he's prepared you with a lot of different ways. We're going to look at five. One, he's prepared you with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Let me see your hands. Let's see if you can do this. It's really hard. Don't try this at home, only in church. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
One more time.
Holy Spirit.
Very good. Keep your hands together. Say, word.
Word.
Say, prayer.
Prayer.
Say, faith.
Faith.
Say, opportunities.
Opportunity.
Very good. Let's do it again. Look at that, look at that. Watch this, amen, amen. Say, Jesus. God has prepared you. So he says, anytime I ask you to do anything, if you say, well, I don't know what to do, pray and the Holy Spirit's there. Read the word. I don't know right or wrong, read the word. I don't have patience, pray to me. Call me, I'll tell you great mighty things you don't know. You are never alone. You never not have the information. He's always there, and by the way, but God, what if there's no opportunity for me? I already got it hooked up. I already got it hooked up. I got people to help you. People in need who need you. Everything's all hooked up right now. There are people right now praying to God, waiting for God to send somebody. You. Imagine if that guy said, I'm not going to do basketball. Imagine what wouldn't have happened. Boom. Boom. So you are completely prepared. Say prepared.
Prepared.
The next P is what? Think for a minute. No, think. Don't say anything, think. What's the next P? Let's try it again, think. What's the next P? Very good. First P is what? Next, second P is what?
Purpose.
Everything God has called you to do or ever will call you to do is to fulfill one purpose all the time. Obeying God. Now, the greatest commandment is to love God. The greatest commandment is what, God? Greatest commandments, what, God?
Love.
Say love.
Love.
The greatest commandments, do what to God?
Love.
No, say love. Greatest commandments, do what to God?
Love.
To love God means to obey God. To love God means to what, God?
Obey.
To love God means what?
Obey.
You cannot love God without obeying God. You cannot love God without obeying God. Loving God means obeying God. You can't separate those two things. So if you are doing stuff that's disobedient to God and say you love God, you're a liar. Now, you may not be consciously lying, but the Bible says you're a liar. It means that you're saying something that's not true. Don't mean you're a bad person, even though we're sinners, but you're lying. You're just misinformed, you're ignorant, you're just self-deceived. However you want to say it, those two things cannot coexist, love and disobedience. Loving God means to obey God. And by the way, let's back up. Your purpose is to obey the first commandment. The first commandment is to what, God?
Love.
It's to what?
Love.
Say love.
Love.
Say love.
Love.
If number one commandment is love God, how do we love God? By what, God?
Obey.
Very good. Obedience is always based on truth. Say truth.
Truth.
Say truth.
Truth.
Love is always based on truth. Say truth.
Truth.
Not feeling. Say not what?
Feeling.
Not what? Say feelings three times.
Feelings.
Very good. It don't matter what you feel. Ladies, how many of y'all have a man in your life? Ooh, those are happy ones. There's three happy ones. The rest of them are like, yeah. Go ahead. It's three snaps in a circle. How many of you ladies want a man? And a lot of y'all are just not really sure. Y'all are just like, I don't know. I think I'll just go single on this one. When you marry, date somebody, and by the way, this applies to every relationship you ever have, friends, children, every relationship. But in a dating relationship, it's really heightened. When you have a relationship with somebody, there are rules to the relationship. Can I get a main lady? Say, hey. There are rules. Now, the problem is that there are basic rules known, and then each woman has their own rules. And then the women don't tell the guys all those rules. Can I get amen, fellas? And then they want you to just, you're supposed to just know or figure it out. It's a game. It's a game. No doubt it's a game. Okay? And the quicker you figure out the rules of the game, the higher chances your relationship will make it. But ladies, you will help if you tell the brother, here are the rules. Are y'all with me? Okay, so here's the deal. When you're in love, you have this feelings, all kinds of stuff, and feelings are fine, but feelings have nothing to do with how you, well, let me say this, whether you feel like it or not has nothing to do with whether you're obligated to love. Because if you have a relationship with somebody, and all of a sudden you have feelings for someone else, but you made a commitment here, and you say, well, I'm going to follow my feelings. You just broke the rules. Relationships breaks. And so the quicker you get with the rules, now a rule would be, you know, respect each other, you know, encourage each other, whatever. But another rule, one lady may have, just hypothetical. I don't think any of y'all would have this rule, but I don't want you talking to her. I don't want you looking at her. Fellas, have you heard that rule somewhere? I mean, you know, don't even look, okay? That's a rule that she may not tell you explicitly, but when you break that rule, watch out. And you don't even know you're breaking it. It's like every day, bam, you're getting hit. Bam, why am I getting hit? And she ain't telling you. She's smacking you in the backside of the head. Bam, you're like, what happened? What'd I do? I don't know. What'd I do? So my point is this, is that love is based on truth, which means you love according to rules. Feeling is involved, but when you don't feel like it, you still have to obey the rules. That's what love is. Love is a commitment, whether you feel like it or not. God says, your greatest commandment to me is to love me. And to love me is to what me? Obey. And you obey based on truth, right here. Not what you feel. So when someone says, well, me and God have our own relationship, what they're saying is, I don't obey the rules. That's what they're saying. They're saying, I have my own rules. And God says, no, you don't. I didn't okay you to have your own rules. And he doesn't. He never will. These are the rules. So if you really love God, you'll love God God's way, not your way. Your way is better than God's way? I don't think so. And so our purpose in life is to simply obey God, period, all the time. And if you're doing something that's disobedient, that's called sin. And you can never justify it. And if you sin, stuff will happen. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Everything was perfect. God said, be fruitful and multiply. There was no sin, no death. And all of a sudden, they were hiding from God. And what did God say? There's only one thing you could have done. It's disobey. That's the only thing you could have done. You must have done what I told you not to do. That's what he said. And that's exactly what happened. And so the good news is that if you want to correct your life, start obeying. Boom. Okay, let's do the five P's again. Just so I get you on track. What's the first P? Perfect. Say it again, first P. Perfect. Say it again, first P. Perfect. Second P. Perfect. Third P. Perfect. Fourth P. 5P, very good. Preparation, pain. Everyone say pain. Pain is when you do not get what you want. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. If you're taking notes, James 4, 1, 3, is that when you don't get what you want. Where do wars come from in conflict? They come from our desire for pleasure. Okay, James 4, 1, 3. Now, in the book, my book, Do Something, I say that pain doesn't only have to hurt. We look at pain as something negative. Oh, it just hurts. Pain. No, there's a lot of good things about pain. But it depends on how you view who you are, because your self-identity will affect how you respond to pain. Your self-identity will affect how you respond to pain. How you view yourself will determine how you respond to bad things. For example, if you view yourself as a loser, a failure, a victim, every time something unpleasant happens, you will say, oh, I knew it was going to happen. Oh, I knew they were going to come get me. Oh, they were looking at me the whole time. I knew they were just thinking how to get me. Oh, I'm always last. I'm always second. I never win. Oh, poor me. Oh, because you expected it. Why? Because that's how you view yourself. The devil has you convinced you're no good. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be blessed. God's not going to love you like that person. That's in your head. It's in your heart. If that's how you view yourself, your whole world will be rocking. Every time something negative happens, you will only see it as negative. And you will live your life trying to avoid conflict at every corner. Should you not try to avoid conflict? Not necessarily. Sometimes God's going to call you to do something that has conflict in it, and you have to be willing to do that. Now, I'm going to make a statement that some of you may have a really big problem with, but work with me and just listen for a little while, is that your emotional health can limit your spiritual growth. I'm going to say it one more time. Your emotional health, or lack thereof, emotional scars, dysfunction, can limit your spiritual growth. Now, you may say, well, are you saying that your emotions can stop God? No. Are you saying the Holy Spirit can overcome your emotional health? No. What I'm saying is that if you are an insecure, I'll just use one example, you are an insecure person and you can't stand being embarrassed in front of any people or being noticed by a lot of people or conflict in front of people. You hate conflict because you're so insecure. And God calls you to do something that is going to cause conflict, or you think it's going to cause conflict, your emotional condition will say, I can't do that. I'm scared of doing that. God may call you to confront someone in your family, your dad, and or somebody that you respect, whatever, and you, emotionally you're not strong enough to confront that person, but God is calling you to do it. What is going to win your emotional weakness? A lot of times. Now, can God overcome it? Yes, but you have to be willing to surrender to God your emotional weakness. But if you say, no, this is who I am, and I can't do that, because a lot of times God will call you to do something, and you will talk yourself out of it and say, well, that's just not who I am. It's not. It's who God made you. It's your dysfunction that got in the way. It's your insecurity that got in the way. Your poor self-image that got in the way. And by the way, God has given you all these incredible talents, and this emotional issue is blocking their potential. Now, I consider myself a relatively emotionally healthy person. I didn't grow up with dysfunction. I wasn't molested. My parents are together. I didn't go through a lot of the stuff that scars kids. And I consider myself a relatively sane person, mentally most stable as well, relatively mentally stable. But I have a counselor. What is a counselor? I have a woman. When we started out ministry 20-something years ago, I started in ministry. She started in counseling. She got her degree. She's a family marriage counselor, Christian lady, blah, 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 blah. And for 25, 26, 28 years, I don't know how long it's been, I've been calling her all the time. When I say all the time, several times a year, every year, I'll get to the point where I'm just done. I'm like, I can't handle it. I'm stressed out. I'm confused, whatever. And I'll call her up and say, look, I got this issue. And she'll say, and I'll tell her the whole story. Okay, sometimes I feel like, Lord, I just want to throw in the towel. Anybody ever feel that, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, all the time, every year, several times a year, I feel that. Okay, if you feel that, you're not alone. I feel it all the time. So I call her up and say, here's what's going on. I tell her this long story about all this drama in my life, and she goes, And then she says something every single time that drives me crazy. And I keep telling her, this drives me crazy when you say it. She says, I know, but I'm going to say it every time. Here's what she says. So what do you think you should do? That's what I'm calling you for. So she talks me through it. And what happens over the years, she has taught me how to counsel myself. But my point is I talk to her all the time. And What she does, she helps me think through stuff that I can't think through myself. My point in telling you all that is that don't let your emotional issue get in the way. Get help. Get help. Because you can learn all the Bible in your head. You can go to church all you want, but when it comes time to obeying, I can't. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's not about what you know. It's about what God is doing in you and doing through you and how you are obeying. Remember, the number one commandment is what, God? The number one commandment is what, God? And you love by what?
Obey.
Right, it comes down to that. Obey. Go do this. Say this. Pray for this person. You're in the mall. God says pray for that person. You're in the mall and you run by someone. You happen to have a Rock flyer in your bag or in your purse. Someone sees it. They go to the Rock. How are you? My name is so-and-so. Oh, I'm going through a divorce. And they start telling you whatever and God says pray for them. And you're like embarrassed because you're in the mall. Because people you don't know might think you're a freak because you're praying for them. Are you kidding me? Bow your heads, put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. But you won't do it because I don't know what people are going to say. You're like, I'm embarrassed. That is where your emotional stuff got in the way of God doing something amazing. Right there. And you went away justifying in your head, well, we do that in church. No, you do that there. And so my point is that you want to get help so you can be free to do whatever God calls you to do. Let's do the five pieces. Back up. Say preparation.
Preparation.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
Say
pain.
Pain. Say pain.
Pain.
Okay. There's three titles God has given you that will determine how you respond to pain. I'm just going to review. Actually, four. One is a child. As a child, pain produces righteousness. As a child, pain produces what? That's if you're trained by it. Hebrews 12:11. As a child, pain produces what? Pain produces what? As a conqueror, you know that nothing will ever snatch you out of God's hand. As a what? Nothing will ever what you out of God's hand? Say snatch. Say aloud.
Snatch.
Say aloud.
Snatch.
As God's beloved, you will share in Christ's glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Say glory.
Glory.
As a God's beloved, let me see your hands. You will share in Christ's what?
Glory.
Say glory.
Glory.
As God's conqueror, say conqueror.
Conqueror.
Nothing will ever what you out of God's hand.
Snatch.
Nothing will ever what you out of God's hand.
Snatch.
As God's child, you will be. Your pain produces what in your life?
Grace.
Say it again.
Grace.
Say it three times. As a saint, there's two same words. As a saint, you have been comforted. This is the part. And you have been comforted. You have been what?
Comforted.
Say it again.
Comforted.
So you can comfort. Let's do it again. You have been what?
Comforted.
So you can be what?
Comforted.
Others. God comforted you so you can comfort others. God did what for you?
Comforted.
So you can do what for others?
Comforted.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Give me the five P's. One more time. Everyone say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Look at the person next to you. Say power.
Power.
Very good. Say power.
Power.
Power is your ability, your authority, and the freedom to do. The ability, authority, freedom to do. It is your ability to do something. There's a lot of kinds of, and there's two kinds of power. There's natural power, spiritual power. What kind of power?
Natural.
Say it again.
Natural.
Natural power is money, politics, personality, relationships, hair. Hair is power. This is power. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see a girl, a woman, female, they could be little kids. They know. That is exercising power, influence. Okay? Check me out. So beautiful. Oh, gosh. When I was 19, there was a girl, five. Her name was Jackie. She was a Puerto Rican girl. She was an angel. And I worked in Brooklyn. She lived in Brooklyn. I was a construction site. I was an engineering student, so I was there as an intern, as my job. And it was really noisy. There was trains going by, people getting shot, construction site. It was just like noise. For real. She had incredible power over me. She had whole power over me. Anything she'd tell me to do, I would do. She was just a little angel. So she's all the way a block away. Just imagine all this noise. And she would say my name. She called me LL. That was her nickname for me. No one ever called me that. She was the only one. LL. And I said, why do you call me that? I don't know. She was so cute. So she's down the block, a block away. All this jackhammer, da-da-da-da-da, trains going by, people screaming. And she would just go, LL. And like a little feather, her voice would just go through all that and hit my ear, and I would go. And she would do this. Power. So there's natural power. What kind of power?
Natural.
Spiritual power. Say spiritual power.
Spiritual power.
Spiritual power is superior to natural power. Spiritual power is what to natural power?
Superior.
Say it again. Say it again.
Superior.
Very good. When God calls you to do something, don't waste your time trusting primarily in natural power. Doesn't mean you don't use it, but what you really use is spiritual power. How? Holy Spirit, pray, read the Bible, obey God. Boom. That's what you do. Don't trump spiritual power with natural power. Don't do that. Don't waste your time. Last one is passion. Say passion. Say passion.
Yes.
Passion is your commitment to never quit, no matter how hard it gets. Jesus was in the garden the night he was arrested three times. Three times he told God, I don't want to do this. It is going to hurt too bad. Dear God, please, please. Three times. Guess what God said? In so many words, too bad. Too bad. Let me put it in my words, okay? Dear God, please, please spare me from this pain. And God says, I can't. You have to do it anyway, even though you're not going to like it. But let me tell you, when the pain is over, you're going to be glorified. That's the same promise he gives us. And three times Jesus asked for something, and God told him no. And three times the Father said, you got to do it anyway. So how much more will God call you to do something that's hard? But are you going to be obedient to do it? Are you going to get over your fear to do it? That's the question. That is the million-dollar question. And by the way, that's the difference between a Christian who is mature and a Christian who's not. It is not how much information you have. No, it is how much you obey. Now, faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more word of God you have, the more faith potential you have. But it all boils down to, are you going to exercise? Faith without works is dead. So having information, are you using that information to do what God has called you to do? To be the person God called you to be? To change the way God has called you to change? Passion says, I'm going to do it no matter what. And that is the difference between the girls and the boys, the men and women. How did I say that? The men, the boys, and the girls, the women and the girls, like whatever. You know what I'm saying? So passion needs to be applied to each of the P. Passion is committed to relying only on the preparations God's made for you. Only on the preparations. Say preparations. Passion says, I am only going to rely on the preparations that God's given me. Passion says, I'm only going to rely on the what? Come on now. The what? The what? The what? Passion says, I am only going to rely on the what that God's made? Passion is fulfilling, is so committed to fulfilling the purpose of loving my enemies. Passion is so committed to me fulfilling my purpose of loving my enemies that I will love them even when they are attacking me. Say attacking. Say attacking. Say attacking. Passion is so committed for pain to do its work in my life that passion will force me to voluntarily, say voluntarily.
Voluntary.
Say voluntarily. To voluntarily walk into painful situations. God, I know it's going to hurt, but you know what? I'm so committed to doing what you want. I will voluntarily step into what I know is going to be uncomfortable. Passion says that. Passion says I will be subjected. Say subjected. I will be subjected to God's power and let him do something in me that he may do something through me. I will be subjected to it first. I will be subjected to God's power. I will be what to God's power?
Yeah.
I will be what to God's power?
Yeah.
I am so committed to fulfilling God's purpose that I will love my enemies even when they are. Even when they are. Even when they are. And I am so committed to relying only on the what God made for me. Say it again. Say it again. And I will blank walk into painful situations. I will blank, walk in the Spirit, say. Very good. And I will allow God, I will be blank to God's power before God's power can be used through me. Say subjected. Yes. Finally. I will strive every day to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. I will strive every day to hear God say, say it again. Very good. Everyone sit up straight, and we're going to end this. We're going to review the whole thing. Sit up straight. Tell the person next to you, let's do this. Y'all ready? How many P's are there? Tell it to me. Very good. Get your hands ready. You were prepared with what? One more time. Say it again. Now do this one. Do the Holy Spirit again. You also prepared with the? Also prepared with the? Uh-huh. And. Very good. Say purpose. Say purpose. Your number one purpose in life is to do what to God? The number one commandment is to what God? Say love. Say love. And to love God, I have to what God?
Obey.
Have to love God, I got to obey God.
Obey.
To love God, I got to what God?
Obey.
Obedience is always based on, and not, pain. God, our identity, our God identity has a pain. I didn't tell you that one. I missed that one. Like nobody got that one. The teacher's a bad teacher. If you didn't get it, it's a bad teacher. Response. Everyone say response. Let me. Leave. Who's the guy on Jeopardy? What's the guy's name? Trebek. The answer is response. Okay. So our God identity has a pain.
Response.
Satan's identity has a pain response. Satan's identity pain response is usually a self-destructive response. Go drink, go do something destructive to yourself. God's response is life-giving, okay? So God's identity has a pain. God's identity has pain. Very good. If you are a child, pain produces what? If you are a child, pain produces what? If you are a, you know that God, nothing can blank you out of God's hand. Nothing can blank you out of God's hand. If you are beloved, you will share in Christ. Give me your hands. Say glory.
Glory.
If you are beloved, you will share in Christ.
Glory.
Very good. If you are a saint, you will be.
Glory.
Say it again.
Glory.
So you can.
Glory.
Very good. Power. Power is your authority, ability, and freedom to. Power is your ability, freedom, and authority to.
This is something. I was this something. Give me another drink, so I can go do something. Power is your ability to do something.
Power is your authority, ability, and freedom to what? Very good. There is what kind of power? And spiritual is what to natural?
Spirit.
By the way, I didn't tell you this other thing. Acts 1:8 says you shall receive power, the ability to do something, spiritual, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that you may be his witnesses in Jerusalem, San Diego, Judea, California, Samaria, the United States, uttermost parts of the world. So when God says, I'm going to give you power for a very specific purpose, I'm going to give you power for a specific purpose. Say specific.
Specific.
I mean Pacific, but Pacific. Say specific. God is giving you power for a very what thing?
Specific.
Very good. Let's do power again. God's giving you power. There's what kind of power?
Natural. Spiritual.
And spiritual is what the natural?
Spirit.
And you get power from who? You get power from who?
Holy Spirit.
To do a what thing?
Specific.
A what thing?
Specific.
Very good. God, tell me what that thing is. God, tell me what the, Jeremiah 33:3 says, if you call to him, he will tell you great mighty things you don't know. God, tell me what I don't know. Lastly, passion. Say passion. Passion is your commitment to what? Passion is your commitment to never give up, quit. Say quit. Does everyone say quit? Passion is your commitment to never, 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 never. Very good. And you have fully committed to relying only on the first P word. Relying only on the. You are so committed to your purpose that you will love your enemies even when they are. You will blank walk into painful situations. And you will be blank to God's power. Say it again. Say it again. And you will live your life every day so you will hear God say to you. Very good. Give yourself a hand. Very good. Two things. If you haven't read the book, Do Something, go to the bookstore and get the book, Do Something. This is what it's about. Number two, when I was a little kid, I used to go watch my father and mother drive the car, and they would turn the steering wheel. And as a little kid, you always want to drive the car. And I would go in there, you know, when they weren't around and just fake like I was driving. We all did that. And you try to turn the steering wheel, and it won't move. You're like, ugh. And then your mother gets in the car, and she's like, one finger. I'm like, how is she doing that? And I didn't figure it out until, I don't know how old I was, when I realized when they were turning the wheel, the car was moving. We want God to turn our life and do all the stuff in our life, but we ain't moving. We're sitting there going, God, fix it, fix it. And God's like, you got to do something. When it comes to that emotional thing I was telling you about, you are not going to be zapped out of it because you're saved. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. That does not mean that everything's fixed. It means that now you have courage you didn't have to get it fixed. And so whether it be that or whether it be what God is telling you to do in your life, start a ministry, get involved in ministry, quit your job, go get a new one, step out in faith, whatever it is, you have to move. And all the preparations that he has for you, you're probably not going to see hardly any of them until you move, because the act of moving is exercising faith. So let me encourage you, go, go, go. Lord, thank you so much. You are the bomb. And I pray that not only would we remember the things we talked about, we got it in the lesson plan, that we would do something. And that we would see, just show us the miracles in our life. And I pray that we as a church would record those miracles, go to our website and put our miracles in our I Do page or Do Something World page and tell us what you're doing. Lord, may we be an encouragement to churches all over the world to do stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.